lots of wind today, then sunny and warmer starting tomorrow. Windy about 47 today, mostly cloudy this morning, then partly cloudy this afternoon. That's your fan forecast. Storm Center 2 brought to you by Cellcom. Whether you need a little data, a little more data, or infinite data, Cellcom builds plans to fit your needs. That's right, Cellcom now offers unlimited data. Data speeds may be reduced. Visit Cellcom.com for details.
Air it out on the fan.
Joined now by Zach Bohannon, former Badger. He promised he would watch the national championship game if we brought him back another week. And I'm here today, we are here today to ask Zach, did you watch the game?
I did. I like to keep my promises, and I maybe not gladly watched it, but I put up with watching the championship game on Monday night.
Was it as painful to watch it as it was for me with all the bricklaying going on?
I think that's the start, and I'm going to keep my answers today short and sweet because I want to have a good back and forth this time where it's not just me talking. Quick response to the game was that it was a absolutely abysmally poorly played game, well officiated, that ended up going to one of the most morally corrupt athletic programs winning the national title.
And I'm assuming you say that because kind of under the radar with this national championship, it's like the topic that everybody knows about and nobody talks about with North Carolina.
Exactly. No, even more so. Let's not even go there yet. How about Roy Williams getting $925,000 in performance bonuses for winning the national title this year when the players got, a T-shirt and a hat?
Pretty sweet. The T-shirts look nice.
how about the irony when we won our Final Four or made our trip to the Final Four and we got shirts that said net worthy? When if you could have just removed a Y and you could have put a question mark after net worth and figure out what our true net worth was, which we found out was, in that regard, a T-shirt.
Wow.
Well, I can hardly wait till we get into the conversation about Frank Kaminsky and Dan Dakich going at it about pay-for-play.
Yeah, let's just go there right now.
Why don't we just hit that?
I assume you're in line with your former teammate on this debate?
Yes and no. I think both of them made themselves look awful in the debate. I don't think it made Dan Dakich, and both of them are dear friends. I like Dan Dakich. I text and email him occasionally, and I stop in whenever I see him at Wisconsin or Iowa after games to go catch up with him. But with that said, him calling Frank a clown and condescendingly talking down to him by saying son, and some of the racist remarks he made about players not being able to handle their own money at 20, 21 years old, was kind of a slap in the face to Frank. At the same time, Frank could have did a better job in his arguments as well. So they're both at fault, in my eyes.
Now, one thing I took away from it, too, was like they were on different ends of the argument, but it almost seemed to me like they were arguing different things. Like, it's almost like Dakich thought Frank was talking about just paying college athletes a lump sum of money or over the course of time, whatever, and Frank's kind of like, I'm just saying, you know, if I can go make money off my signature and benefit off my own likeness, then that's what I think I deserve.
Yes, they definitely were on different pages, and I hate the moniker of pay for play because, let's face it, players are already paid. They're paid in a scholarship in the form of getting a free education, which is fine and all, but at the end of the day, going back to even the whole Roy Williams getting a performance bonus, where the problem comes in, and I'm an economics major, and this is what I specialized in when I was at Wisconsin, was that it's a price-fixed compensation where collegiate athletes are the only students in a university setting that is not able to profit off of their own name, image, and likeness. In addition, they price-fix the compensation that they receive, which ends up saying that so people like the coaches are able to get a larger chunk of the paycheck at the end of the day, which is where we're having these exorbitant performance bonus and these exorbitant salaries that these coaches are making in the upwards of $2, $3, $4. Some are even now making $7 million.
But where does it, so what in your mind is the solution? I mean, it's not, what about Nigel Hayes can make so much money off of his name, but the last guy on the bench isn't going to make a dime off of his name, is he? So there's no equity there, so how do you evenly distribute it, or can you?
Yes and no. So at the end of the day, let's say, like, you can throw me in the argument that I was at the end of the bench. I was the ninth man in an eight-man rotation that barely played at Wisconsin. You don't think that I could have went off and made money off my name, image, and likeness and done some of the things that I wanted to do off the court that the NCAA says is deemed would deem me ineligible if I did?
Well, I don't know that answer. Only you can tell me that.
I can tell you right now for a fact that I was offered multiple writing assignments for CBS's, ESPN's of the world to get paid or book deals on writing some of the things that I wanted to write about, and they told me I wasn't allowed to by our compliance department. So okay. A player like myself, who supposedly is at the end of the bench, I wasn't able to make any money off of that. I can't even write a book deal when my English major classmate is able to write a novel and make her own profit. How does that make sense?
So in your mind, Zach, what's, I'm not to say there's an easy fix, but what do you do? In your perfect world, how do you settle this debate? You don't like the term pay for play, I get it, but benefiting off college athletes' likeness or whatever, what's your fix to this solution?
So I've said this multiple times. I've even said this in the New York Times article during our Final Four run, is that there's no perfect model in the NCAA world. There's two big things that can happen right off the bat. It's number one, the NCAA can go ahead and move to an Olympic model, which when the Olympics move to an Olympic model where they could endorse, where they could get, where the athletes themselves could get endorsement deals and profit off of their name, image, and likeness, they all said that that was going to blow up the entire Olympics and all hell was going to break loose. When in reality, the Olympics haven't been any stronger than they have been at this point in time. So that argument is flawed internally, and that argument that the NCAA throws out saying that that would ruin college athletics is flat out wrong. So one, the name, image, and likeness has to be instituted where players can profit off their own autograph, their own endorsement deals, and so forth. Two, our compliance officers are now monitoring each athletic department internally. So we are literally, this goes back to that old movie quote, that the inmates are literally running the asylum. They're literally running what happens to the institution. We should, if we're going to truly be an institution that monitors the illegal recruiting and some of the things that college athletics has to monitor, why in the heck are we having our own athletic departments monitor those things? Illegal recruiting happens already, but at the end of the day, look at the North Carolina academic scandal. This was a scandal that happened over two decades, and at the end of the day, it only hurt the student-athletes. And if that's what the NCAA is going to run on and say that, look, this is the institution is represented for the student-athletes, and if you're not going to take care of the student-athletes, what's the point of having it? And I saw it at Wisconsin happen firsthand, things of the liking. So it's a joke that those two things are still even up in the air for debate.
Zach Bohannon here on The Fan. Now, since we're running low on time here, I want to get your thoughts on Lamont Paris, the associate head coach for the Badgers. No more. He accepts the head coaching job at Chattanooga. What are your thoughts on Lamont?
I wish Coach Paris the best of luck in his new endeavor. Obviously, moving from an assistant coach to head coach is always a challenge, and if there's anyone ready for it, it's him.
How do you feel about a legendary player like Patrick Ewing getting a job back at Georgetown?
I think a guy like Patrick Ewing getting a job at Georgetown is phenomenal for multiple regards. Patrick Ewing did it the right way. Unlike some of the announcers in the world who try to jump, or some of the star athletes who try to jump immediately into that role, Patrick Ewing paid his dues, got an assistant coach, worked his way up on the bench. He was a up-and-coming coach that was in some of the final interviews for NBA positions last year and got his opportunity at his alma mater at Georgetown. So I think that that he should be looked at as a model for coaches to come and aspiring people, unlike some announcers. I'm not trying to throw him under the bus by any means, but like a Doug Gottlieb of the world who tries to go interview at Oklahoma State without any assistant coaching experience should not happen.
Does that kind of hire carry a lot of weight with prospective recruits?
I think if he brought Allen Iverson on staff as an assistant coach, that would be an all-star coaching staff.
Oh, yeah, that would be awesome.
That would be something else. Who could the Badgers, like, what alumni would make the biggest draw for recruiting? I'm trying to think right now.
Zach and who?
Yeah, the Bohannon brothers. There you go.
The Bohannon brothers, yeah.
Based on the salaries that are getting paid to the assistant coaches, I think me and Jason would gladly come on board and take half the pay for one position.
Very nice.
What do you see in the 2017-2018 Badgers? They're going to lose a lot of guys, as we know.
I think it goes back to the whole Gary Parrish at CBS. He made the best quote, and he said that he will never have a preseason ranking without putting the Wisconsin Badgers in the top 25. And little do we know, his early top 25 rankings came out just right the day after the national championship game,
right.
And he didn't have the Wisconsin right. Badgers in the top 25. Yep. So the media is going to continue to degrade what Wisconsin has stood for over the last 15, 16, whatever, how many years it's been since Dick Bennett's Final Four run, and they're going to continue to make sure that Wisconsin is looked down upon, and at the end of the day, they're going to continue to surprise people year after year. So don't be surprised if they're in the top 25 in short.
Well, it'll be a new look for sure for the Badgers with a bunch of freshmen and underclassmen playing, obviously the most accomplished senior class ever leaving, so it'll be a little different. But, yeah, hard to pick against the Badgers. Zach, great stuff on the show all year. We'll definitely bring you on again. I know it's not basketball season anymore. The season's over, but that's okay. You're always welcome.
I appreciate it. Since I'm no longer under that NCAA compliance clause, do you think I can get paid for my name, image, and likeness?
I think you probably can.
No worry. And, by the way, we also apologize for Marcus baiting you throughout the course of the basketball season.
I don't apologize.
Sorry,
no, seriously,
not sorry.
Guys, I just want to give you a quick thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure.